Tierney and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata show. Hang on, Lindor fans. I'll get back to you. We'll get back to you. The Yankees. I mean, So I'm coaching my son last night, his team, and I'm in the dugout. Let me check the Yankees score. Boom, down 4-1. And you know what the sad part is? I didn't even think that they'd be winning. You asked me yesterday, like, what I think their best case scenario is to finish up the final six before last night. I said 3-3 max. I said, where's the evidence? That's out of blind faith. Why would I expect the Yankees to start playing crisp, winning baseball out of nowhere? They don't have the guns, man. They just don't have the horses. They can't hit. They don't pitch right now. Their starters' ERA, over the last 21 games is almost 7. 7. And they continue to not run the bases. Hey, get somebody on base, not hitting, maybe generate a little something. Nah, we'll keep Volpe stationed at first base for some reason. So now the general manager is waiting, Brian Cashman, who is down in Tampa getting ready for the draft. And, you know, if most of us had our say, the guys or the young men that they draft soon, he will not be around to see them elevate through the system. Because he just, again, has built a horrible roster. But he's speaking a little differently right now. This is a little different, all right? He said, well, now you've got to interpret this, and maybe my interpretation's wrong. Sal, you tell me what you think. He said a lot of things. I'm not going to read them all, but he did say this. This jumped out. But we have learned, quote, clearly a number of different things along the way, Cashman said. Hopefully, we'll be able to take care of business when it counts by the end of the month. Let me see. Checks his phone. Oh, yeah. End of the month is the trading deadline. All right. So to me, when Brian Cashman says we have learned clearly a number of different things along the way, what he's telling the Yankee fan is they know they must make monumental moves. Do you agree with how I interpret that quote?
I don't.
How do you hear that?
I think he's still trying to figure out if he's going to be buyers or sellers here.
Wow.
I really do believe that. BT, how are you going to fix this?
I'm not saying that there's an absolute roadmap to, but to me, he sounds very motivated that he knows this ain't it.
Yeah, well, he knows that they need to make major changes. I'm with you. Monumental, in your word, monumental changes. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be additions to help this team this year. How? How are you going to get this turned around with this particular team? If it were just the offense, I'd say, okay, they could add two or three pieces and figure it out. You know, add a bench piece, add two starters in that lineup, fine. It's that plus the starting rotation plus the bullpen. Anything else? I mean, come on.
The bat boy's doing a good job.
Yeah, really?
I think maybe not because they're not even hitting. Maybe not enough pine tar on the
bats. And why would you, to your
get
point.
Get rid of him too.
Yeah, to your point before, why would we, and we've been down this road so many times before, it actually gets, like, I'm sick of talking about it.
It really
as well.
Is old, isn't it, with like, this team? It's the same story every season.
And why would we trust that Brian Cashman's going to do something different and fix it? He's had how many years to turn it around? And it keeps getting worse and worse. And this may be the worst one yet. And how about Rodon yesterday? As you said, you got the Little League game going. I'm driving home from SNY, finally, you know, getting the car. It was an early start yesterday.
Yeah.
Let me flip it on. Yeah. Knowing that Rodon was pitching, knowing that I better get to it early, otherwise the game might be over.
Yeah, you better tune in right away.
Tune in. Boom.
Here's the pitch.
Rosarena and then Isaac Paredes. Whatever.
He's a good player, Paredes.
He hits the home run, and I hear the disgust in Susan's voice, like, well, that didn't take long. And
she's exactly, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not wrong.
No, I know.
Rodon, he's terrible. He's terrible. Pavano, Kayagawa, Ellsbury, Carlos Rodon is amongst. I'm
what
tired
about Kevin
of it.
Brown.
Name him. He's right up there with the worst of the worst signings. And I'm glad I never wavered on him. I told you. I know he started to right the ship a little bit.
Yeah.
I never believed in him. I thought he was a fraud from day one after all the stuff that he did last year. He is gutless. Another gutless performance when the Yankees desperately needed a good start. But no, BT, I think that Cashman is aware that he's got to make monumental changes. I just don't think it's going to be all guaranteed that they're going to be buyers and try to fix this thing. I don't know if it's fixable. They're that bad.
So if I'm Cashman, well, see, you would think that in most circumstances where accountability is paramount, meaning if you don't do your job well, you're gone after a while, you know, and that doesn't seem to be the case because Hal is incredibly patient, which is not a bad thing, but there's a limit on patience. There's got to be. All right. So if this was a more conventional setup right now, if I'm Cashman, I'm saying to myself, I got to save my ass. Fire I don't care wound. About Spencer Jones. I'm trading Spencer Jones, and I'm trading everybody. I'm trading Dominguez, like the young kids, to bring in whether it's a third baseman man from the Rockies or Jazz Chisholm, whatever they got to do to fix this. And because he seemingly has a job for life, why would he give up the prospects and do something crazy?
Nor should he do that. I know what you're saying, but he shouldn't do that just to save his rear end this one particular year.
A lot of people do, though.
I don't think...
You know what I mean? A lot of executives do that.
I don't think his job is in jeopardy, but I do think Aaron Boone's is in jeopardy. But let's just say that Jazz Chisholm, that McMahon, Vlad Guerrero, that these guys could fix the Yankees. I don't believe
that
they
need all three of them.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
How crazy is that?
Wait, so you need all three of them.
Not one of them.
And then you need bullpen up and a starting pitcher. So let's just say that that could be the answer. Are they going to be willing to part with what it would take to get that? A, did they even have it? And B, if they did have it, because they do to a certain extent, like, you could certainly get one or two of those guys.
Yes,
but you mentioned names that they're going to have to give up. They're not going to do that anyway.
I don't think that they will
either. And they've been reluctant to do that in years past. So how are they going to fix this?
Well, I don't know that they are, man. I mean, I wish I had the magic answer for you, but Yankees look broken. I mean,
you think Boone gets fired here?
I think he's getting perilously close to being shown the door. I mean,
me too.
I you know, it's got to be said, man. And I said it the other day,
I don't think he should be fired.
No, but at some point he should be if it doesn't change. I mean, come on. I mean, you just keep. Yeah. Like, what have they lost? I don't know. What are they? 5-6-24. It's something crazy, which is the worst stretch in the last 30 in MLB. If we're sitting here and the Yankees have lost 37 of 46 and this thing just keeps getting worse and worse, you're not going to do anything?
Well, what point?
What are you going to do?
Like, we all thought by now, certainly I did. I know a couple weeks ago you were like, this is bad. And I was like, they'll be all right. They'll figure it out. They'll, you know, tweak some things, whatever. It's gotten worse, way worse since then.
Yes.
At some point, you're going to reach a point where there is no return.
I know.
Point of no return.
I know.
Did you hear Boone yesterday with John Boy and Jake?
I heard snippets on the morning show.
How about when John Boy listed about five things? Hey, Boone, this was
wrong. I didn't hear that one.
Yeah.
Because Jerry had a couple in his first update. And then he clips some more.
The one that ate.
I didn't get the last one. What did he say?
The one that I heard at 8:30.
I didn't hear that one.
I wonder if we have this in the system here. Zoo, can you look to see if we have any of the John Boy cuts from the Talking Yanks podcast?
As we're looking for that, just encapsulate what some of the five things were.
Well,
I'm curious.
Well, he listed like, okay, Booney, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but the LeMahieu grounder.
Okay.
That he just threw his glove at.
Yeah, sure.
The Grisham playing center. Volpe on a base path.
Yep.
The Gleyber
Torres
drop,
for 3 years.
And Boone's immediate response was,
what'd he say?
The one pop-up that Gleyber dropped in 7 years? Yeah, I know that one. Now, I don't know what he said exactly afterward, but that's his retort to about 15 things.
That's what he says?
Yeah. Now, they said other stuff, and we got to find the clips because it was actually worth the listen, if you could find that. He got good stuff from Jerry. I know it was in the system before, so hopefully we could find that here. But
we'll find it.
Point is, Boone.
So he deflected.
Yeah, like, that's one spot, and I get that he wants to defend his guys, and it was clearly, like, testy, not with the question, but just with the frustration.
Yep.
But John Boy did a great job listing endless things that he's seen watching this team, and then Boone answered it with that. You have it, too? Let's play this clip here.
In this stretch, we had, going back, DJ just swiping at the ball at third, letting the runner go to second. Grisham, letting that ball just routine ball get fielded and move away. We had DJ not hustling down on that double play, and then the Volpe and DJ combined play, as well as Gleyber not hustling and Gleyber drop pop ups. Where it's like, how is that happening?
Pop up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one he dropped in 7 years. Yeah.
Okay. What happened after that? Yeah. That's what I really need to know.
Do we have the? Because Jerry did play one more cut, I think, from John Boy after that. See if we have that. This is, of course, John Boy Media. I think it's a Talking Yanks podcast that has this. But either way, John Boy Media, they do a great job with
they do.
Booty
they do a really. I like that conversation.
Yeah, well, because John Boy's a legit fan. He's watching it. It's the way that Mike and Chris used to do it.
Yep.
And John Boy gets the opportunity to do it. That's great. And nobody's a bigger Yankee fan than him. Watching everything. Like, that's what those guys do. Mm. He's calling him out.
I don't know if he's the biggest fan.
Well, put it this way.
He's a great fan. I don't know if he's number one fan.
He's watching every second of every game.
I
mean, that's what he does.
I know.
Now, I don't know about the football stuff. Like, you and and I have to cover everything else.
Yeah.
They're doing specifically.
No, they do a great job. I like those guys.
He's tremendous with it, and he's doing it right to Boone's face, as you should.
Yep.
And that's Boone's response. Even in that one snippet, you're right. What comes after that is interesting as well.
Sure, really matters.
But BT,
I know.
If I listed all those things to you and you're the manager of the Yankees, are you going to come back with a little like, oh, the one pop-up that he dropped?
Well, it would minimize everything that you said, which he's doing to keep the fervor as low as it could be kept. Although, let's face it, with the Yankees in here, that's impossible. I think if he says anything else, he's just going to make it worse, and he's smart enough to know that. So I get it.
Why not just say we got to clean things up so we have John Boy's reaction after that?
Let's just play
this real quick to tie it up. Good.
Yes, but that combined with all the other things I just said is a lot of, I don't know what you want to label it as, if
sloppy.
It's not fundamentals or just head not in the game or not playing through the play, which is a phrase you like to use. It's happening a lot.
And then we don't have Boone after that? Okay. I mean, that's what you want to hear after that, obviously. But at least John Boy pushed back.
Great follow-up. Fantastic.
Yeah. But point is, Boone is, again, like getting testy and deflecting. Look, I don't think this is Aaron Boone's fault by any stretch.
Me neither. It's Cashman's more.
He should have been held accountable like he was with John Boy. But
they're not playing hard for him.
He's going to get fired. Like this is how managers get fired here. This is not rocket science. It's not us even saying that it should.
Yep.
This is how you get... I mean, what are you going to do? This is how managers get fired. They raise the expectations. They were on pace to win a World Series. The team has been the worst team in Major League Baseball since June 15th. It's gotten worse. It's every which way. Sloppy play. They can't pitch. They don't have a bullpen. They can't hit. They're not running the bases well. I mean, how else do managers lose their job? If they didn't do something.
Yep. Don't forget the second highest payroll. Yeah, don't forget that this is happening again. Another second half swoon. That's how you get fired. I mean, optically, and I know that this isn't truly the case, but it presents itself too often for a team that's, if a team's locked in, those things don't pop up the way they are. It looks as if the Yankees don't respect their manager. Yeah. Because if you respect Aaron Boone, you don't put that product out there in terms of effort as consistently as they are.
It may look that way. Do you think that they don't respect him?
I don't think that that's the case.
So, me neither, because look at Judge. I think Judge really likes Boone. And I believe that. I don't know. I don't know for certain. He could just be saying it in front of the cameras. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But I don't believe that there's a lack of respect or a disconnect with Aaron Boone. I just think that the players simply aren't good enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Judge hasn't been more critical of the team. Like, we saw him hold Stroman accountable. That was one instance, but like...
Yeah, you mean just the overall...
Somebody's got to say and do something here. We can't just be having the same thing over and over again.
Has he been asked in a way, like I watch the Boone pressers every night. I don't always stick around and follow all the individual interviews, but I watch the Boone stuff, as I've said many times. Has Judge been asked in a way where he almost can't deflect it? Like, it's one thing to ask Judge, hey, you know, what happened tonight? This, that, empty at bats, blah, blah. It's another thing if it's presented more in a macro, hey, you're the captain. You've seen a lot.
And then getting your teeth kicked in for the better part of a month.
Yeah, what is the perception is that this team is not locked in and not playing crisp fundamental baseball. What's wrong with this team? Like, has it been presented that way by somebody who's a reporter that would, you know, basically propel or almost force Aaron Judge to answer like a state of the Yankees assessment?
The one that I saw.
I don't know.
The one that I saw, maybe it was after the Subway Series. You're going back a couple weeks. It might have been after that. I'm not sure. But he was just like, basically, hey, it's a long season.
Yeah.
You know, it's one game.
That's but at what, that what point, it was early enough where that was okay.
Right. So now this has gone on way too
for
long.
For sure.
Like,
it's a month.
They're going to go into the All-Star break. Dude, I told you. I mean, who knows what's going to happen here these next two games? Look, maybe they turn it around. But what do you think's going to happen? Playing the way that they've been playing with the Orioles looming, the Orioles who've owned them, even when the Yankees were at their best this year, you're going to go into the break wounded.
Yeah, you are.
Wounded. You might be buried in the division and hanging on for dear life in the wild card.
You might need that because it might have to get this bad for finally, you know, things to change, like, aggressively. And I don't know that they will in terms of... And I don't just mean ancillary pieces, the bullpen arm, you know, a 7 or 8 hitter. I mean, they got to reconstruct this thing quick. Listen, we'll get back to these calls here. So we're going to juggle the Mets and the Yanks. Lindor stuff, the Yankees who are a circus right now. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. I look at it this way. Number one, does a team win? All right, so if a team doesn't win, then the subset to that question for me is always, do they have the requisite pieces to win? And I think the answer, like Sal, is more no than yes, because I don't think Cashman's done a good job.
Right.
And then I get to the subset of that, and I say, are they at least playing hard to maximize what they have? And that answer is no, which now is a reflection on Boone. So all of my energy has been toward Cashman for these years. It is now, and I don't think I'm off base on this, and I know I'm not alone, it's also on the manager. If this doesn't change, they're going to have to change who the manager is.
And as much as I...
Is what it is.
I believe and feel and know that this is not Boone's fault, I have to admit that there's no way he can survive this type of play for this prolonged, extended period. If this continues, he will get fired. This is how managers lose their jobs.
I don't disagree. Nick's in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Nick, what's happening? Nick, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. Long time fan. Love the show. Diehard Yankee fan. Yankees have 17 games left until the All-Star break. If they go, let's say, 4-13 or 5-12, and let's say they're back 2 or 3 games of a third wild card spot. Does it make? I have two questions. Does it make?
Talking about the deadline, not the All Star break.
Yeah, you mean by the deadline?
God, yeah, right, the deadline. Yeah, July 31st. Okay. My apologies.
Yep.
Let's say that they have another horrible run like they've had the last 3 weeks, and let's say they're 2 or 3 games back of Boston in that third wild card spot. Does it make sense for them to trade? And I know it sounds crazy, but would it make sense for them to sell? And would it make sense for them to sell Soto? I know it'll never happen because the Yankees probably won't do that, but does it make sense if this team is a couple games back come August 1st?
Nick, I don't think it sounds crazy at all. I mean, I at this point, now I'm not saying that because there's some Yankee fans, but yeah, of course you want that to happen. I'm talking about this from a Yankees fan's perspective, from a Yankees organizational perspective. Does it make sense to buy into this team under your hypothetical, if this continues, and by the trade deadline, the Yankees are 3 games back of the Red Sox for the third wild card? Think about what a fall that would be. Think about how poorly they will have played for how long they will have played. So for me, the answer then would certainly be, well, I'm not buying into this team. I'm not adding to this team. I need to fix this. And if you're going to fix it, why not try to maximize a return for a pending free agent who, by the way, if you really think the right answer is to have him back anyway, you still could sign in the offseason. The same way they said about with Alonso with the Mets.
Yeah,
they were
consistent. Yeah.
Mike, if Soto's all about the money, you trade him, you maximize your return, just like they did with the Yankees did years ago with Chapman. Now, again, that's a little bit further down the road, and that's obviously a major, major, like, you're talking about going from buyers then going to sellers to then considering selling Juan Soto. So that's a drastic, you know, development here. But in your hypothetical, BT, I think it'd be reckless if they didn't consider that.
Not there yet. Not there yet. Not there yet.
But in that hypothetical, I mean, right now, we talked about they had all that equity built up. It's going away rapidly. Like now, their wild card lead is 3.5 games. They are one game in the loss column ahead of the Twins. One in the loss column ahead of the Twins for the second wild card. 2 games in the loss column ahead of the Red Sox for the third wild card. Just 5 games ahead of the Royals for that who are out. Yeah. That's not a big... Yeah. Like, that's... All that wiggle room is gone.
You know when you go... And, oh God, this feels so good. Although, inevitably, it almost always changes. You go to a casino, right? And within the first hour, and I'll use blackjack because that's my game. You just rack up the chips.
Yeah.
You know, you just everything splitting, doubling down, dealer busting. You're getting fed money cards from the start. And then all of a sudden, that massive stack dissipates. Not only does it dissipate, you got to go to the ATM to get more money to keep playing.
Ooh.
Like, they're not at the ATM yet, but those chips are.
Right.
I mean, you're starting to clink the last 5 or 6 that you know how when you get nervous, you kind of just jumble them together? There's not many left right now.
And you know, when you make that run to the ATM, it doesn't end well. Because you're going to be making a second run to that ATM.
That would be
the Yankees buying into this team, especially under that hypothetical.
All right, BT and Sal back here on the Fantasy Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. We did see something, heard some stuff about the Knicks and what they might do. We've got to do additionally what they've already done with Mikal Bridges, etc. And losing Hartenstein still needs to solidify that. I was going to say backup center spot, although, you know, what's been out there would be the primary center spot. Karl-Anthony Towns for Julius Randle. Your first thoughts? Your first thoughts as a Knicks fan, as you are, as am I. We know the Knicks need center help.
I don't think it's realistic. I'm intrigued. I don't think it's realistic. I don't love Karl Anthony Towns, but he is a big who could certainly stretch the floor, an elite big who could stretch the floor.
Yeah.
So how would you not want to then take him in that scenario where you're giving up Randle, who, as much as I love him and as much I know he could play in New York, he's proven that, and he's got that dog in him. I love that from Julius Randle. There still are question marks about how this whole thing is going to fit and if he can succeed in the postseason, whereas Karl Anthony Towns is, you know, one of the best shooting bigs of all time.
He's up there.
He's great. Soft, though.
Yeah, I mean,
you love it, I'm assuming.
I don't love it, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it.
I only guess that because I know you don't love the Randle's fit.
Yeah, no, it's a fair assumption. No, I don't. I don't know if I love it. I'm not sure what kind of legs it really has.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I don't know. I'm not going to rule it out. Especially when somebody else has either a source or some sort of conversation. Like, I'm not going to refute somebody else's reporting. I don't know. But I look at it this way. Like, would I do it if I'm running the Knicks now? Now, I'd be enticed to do it because, as I've said, I've got some reservations. Even though I love him, I don't know if Randle fully fits here. He's used to holding the ball. We've had this conversation a million times. And now it's about ball movement, spacing, guys cutting, shooters, Brunson being the man. Things have changed here. And he's not a very good postseason player, although there's reasons for that, as we've chronicled a million times. Knicks need a center. Mitch is going to miss 35, 40 games. You know that. Hartenstein's a massive hole. I don't trust Sims enough. I don't know what else they could do. There's a few other stiffs out there that maybe you bring in. I think the Knicks need to do something big at center. The problem with him, not that he's soft, he's not as ferocious as you would maybe like. There's a lot of money on that contract that remains. I think in 2027 he's due. It's a player option, $61 million. 27, 28.
All right,
it's down the road. You can't, and I can't just discount the money.
Let's just simplify it for a second. Forget that money, because the Knicks are built to win a championship now, next year, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
So if I ask you who gives them a better chance to beat the Celtics and win an NBA championship right now, if it's just straight up Randle or Karl Anthony Towns with their mix that they have,
I would think that I would probably say Towns.
Me too. But I love Randle.
But the numbers don't support that. Karl Anthony Towns, I actually dove into him this morning. Karl Anthony Towns Towns' numbers against Boston are bad. Randle's are great. What does that mean in a 7-game series? I don't know. It's not the same exact rosters. You know, they've made some changes. Knicks have made changes.
Yeah, but just think about the offensive player that Towns is with all the other players that the Knicks have.
Yeah, but where does he operate? Primarily outside?
All right, so you're going to lose a little bit inside, but still the Knicks have guys that could get inside with Brunson and with Bridges. They could attack the rim if they need to.
But I'm saying, is Towns going to get... He's probably not going to get in Brunson's way on the perimeter. I mean, probably not. The other thing, though, and maybe...
They could also clear the way. You get the big man out.
Do that, too. Set the pick, and you could roll. If they go on Brunson, you just drop it off to Towns. Bang, he's wide open. No, there's a lot of reasons, basketball-wise, why it would work. The thing that I think...
Reason why I think he's a better fit... I love Randle. I think Randall's a better all-around player. I think Karl Anthony Towns could be more impactful, and he's a much better shooter from deep.
Yeah, he's a very good shooter.
So that's...
He's a great foul shooter, too. He's like 80-something percent.
So where Randle... Well, he's certainly developed a shot.
Yep.
And I think a better all-around player, I just love the idea of... You know what? I'd be intrigued by the idea of a big that can shoot like that with the rest of the pieces that the Knicks have.
I would be intrigued, too. And I am intrigued, okay? But I also, from, you know, again, that report that's out there, you hear maybe Deuce McBride's got to be. I don't want to get rid of Deuce McBride. Like, if it's as simple as, I know you got to have the money's match up, blah, blah, blah. If it's Karl Anthony Towns straight up for Randle, I do it maybe a little more begrudgingly than you guys would think, because I think many of you know where I stand on Randle, even though I really do like him and respect him. I don't think he's a great fit, as I've said a million times. But I think Deuce coming off the bench on that contract, you know, Knicks need a backup or two behind Brunson. $13 million for 3 years for McBride is a steal. He's getting ready to beast. I believe he's just starting to ascend. So I'm not saying that McBride would prevent me from doing it. I think, independent of what I think, I think the Knicks might have the appetite to do this. I think that they really might. And I have said, I do think they're going to trade Randle. So the concept of trading Randle is not foreign to me, and I don't think it's lost on them either.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to. And I wouldn't want to. That would be one that would intrigue me.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Let me get Jason at base. We're back to the Lindor stuff. What's going on, Jay? How are you today?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Okay, Jason. Thanks for making the call, dude. What's up?
No problem. So I've been listening to BT since you went on the air on WFAN.
Yep.
With Tiki. And I enjoy your show. I listen to it like every day. And I've been listening to your anti-Lindor campaign.
Well,
whether intentional or not. And I just got to wonder how much that affected the All-Star voting here in New York.
Not an inch. What do you mean? You think I've got that kind of juice with that? There's no way.
Well, I mean, it's a popularity contest. And if
it's usually a production contest, really. It's usually a production contest. Usually.
Right. And I mean, you know that if you're in the North, you're not as loose playing baseball in March, April, early May as you are, say, during spring training. And I've seen a lot of these teams, especially get a slower start.
And never bothered Jeter.
We've seen plenty of other guys come to this town and have no problem performing in April or May. And by the way,
come on,
like there's a difference between off to a slow start and looking like one of the worst players in the sport.
Yeah,
which is what Lindor did, and he's been a notorious slow starter. This year was even worse than that. But the idea that anybody that anything that BT or anybody else would say would impact the All-Star voting is just ridiculous.
Listen. And I also push back at the usage of the anti-Lindor. Yeah, to me, the anti-Lindor rhetoric is an unfair characterization of the conversations that have been had on the station.
Well,
it's just been an accurate reflection of the, at times, too often, lacking play by Lindor that I've reacted to. Now that he looks like a superstar again, I'm giving props. He's been amazing. It's awesome. But it's not anti-Lindor. It's just more pro-reality.
Well, your reality.
Well, I mean, you often agreed with me.
Wow. So, I know, but as I always say with you, why are you going to take it so far? But you said he could only hit right-handed. Well, he looks like he's never going to be the same player again. I don't know if you used exact washed up, but
yeah,
I alluded to him being washed up.
He should consider giving up the lefty stick. I definitely did say that.
100% I remember that.
I did say that. I'm not running from that.
And I also remember it being like, look, this guy's playing like one of the worst players in the league. He's 30 years old now. He may be past his prime. It's over, all that. And right now, I would argue, well, you've even admitted that he's playing his best as a Met.
Yes. Oh, no question. And he looks like the player that I thought that they acquired.
Finally.
Yeah. I mean, it took half a decade almost. time.
See, you can't help yourself.
I mean, imagine if it took you and I 4 years to do a decent show.
Yeah, might need that leeway here. We might need that runway. I don't know.
It took 4 minutes.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, BT, here we go. As we do every Wednesday at 11:40, a little 3RQ, three random questions. Number one, do you prefer to binge a show or have a slow release?
Binge. I mean, I don't know how you don't binge at this point. You have to. Now, I did love, like, the build-up to Sopranos, the weekly build-up, but my mind was only conditioned to work that way because that's the way we consumed TV back then. So, you know, you wait all week, and then, you know, it's Sunday, and it's like, all right, yeah, I got to order the foods, coming on in a couple of hours, HBO. But no, I think I started, well, I'm trying to think, like, what's one of the first shows that I truly binged here?
Mm.
This is not one of the first, but we binged Ozarks going back years
Breaking
ago.
Breaking Bad, did you watch that live?
I didn't
live
get into
or?
That. Isn't that amazing? I watched a few. I didn't get into it. That's
The Wire.
Nuts. Love The Wire.
Did you binge?
No.
Okay, so you watched it real time. Okay.
Mad Men? I like that. I actually, you know what? That's the kind of thing. I just ran out of time. Mad Men was very good.
Yeah.
I liked Oz. Oz was great.
Okay, I never went back and saw that. I tried.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't get
it. Oz was good.
Old looking for me by the time I went.
I get you. No, but I am a binger. How about you?
Well, I mean, I like to binge, but there are two shows out now. I mean, aside from like the housewife stuff, which my wife and I love, but that, whatever, I don't need to binge that. But Presumed Innocent, which is a show on Apple TV with Jake Gyllenhaal, I can't stand.
Don't know it yet.
I went to a Kanye West, Jay-Z concert years ago. Jake Gyllenhaal was in the front row.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was a little hammered. My buddy was like, go say something. So I was like, I don't even know who Jake Gyllenhaal is. I couldn't give a crap less. But because I was, you know, drinking a little bit and he was there, I was like, hey, Jake, mind if I grab a picture? He's like, no, not now, man. Leave me alone.
Really?
And he was just
you didn't tell him you worked for SNY at that point? Maybe would have.
No. He was just a total.
Really?
D. And okay. So I never liked him. But the show is really good, but it comes out one episode a week every Wednesday.
Ooh.
It sucks. I want to binge the show.
I kind of respect that, going back to an old school thing. I respect that, actually.
Why I was asking, because I'm kind of torn. The other one is House of Dragons, which we like. But that's different to me because it doesn't need to be binged. And it's like every Sunday, it's a nice thing I look forward to with my wife. 9 o'clock, Sunday nights, get to watch the House of Dragon show. But Presumed Innocent is a show that you want to binge because you need to know what's happening next.
Okay.
And they do it the slow freaking release. It drives me nuts every Wednesday.
Have you gotten into Yellowstone?
Yes, love it. And that's a good one a week, right?
I believe it was initially.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That hasn't come out in a while.
I think they have a prequel to it now.
I have not watched that yet.
Is it called 1823? Does that sound right?
They got a bunch of spinoffs off Yellowstone now.
Wait, is the actual Yellowstone done, though, or no?
I think it's exclusive to streaming.
But is there a new season coming out of Yellowstone? Boy, now you
look.
I'll tell you this.
There's also too many shows.
Yeah,
that's the
I know.
Other problem
here. So much so that, have you heard of the show Your Honor?
No.
It's now on Netflix, but it was on Showtime.
Yeah.
So much so that, to your point about so many shows, I thought we were done. My wife and I watched it years ago on Showtime. It was 10 episodes. The series, I thought, ended.
Okay.
I just found out as I'm scrolling through Netflix, I'm like, oh, Your Honor, and we've seen it. And then I start scrolling through the episodes. I'm like, wait a second, we didn't see that one. It was a whole new season.
Are you serious?
I didn't even know about it.
You know what show that I think would have been fun to binge, but we didn't, you know, again, we wouldn't consume it that way? 24. Did you get a 24 back in the day?
No. Did you? You watch all
yes.
Thing?
Loved it.
So you would like to binge that.
Oh, my. Just the way it goes to commercial, like ding,
yeah.
Ding, the clock ticking,
yeah,
ding,
I'm familiar
ding.
With it, but I didn't watch it. But there's so many episodes now, I can never go back and catch up.
No, do you think
Sopranos would have been better as a binge or no?
I can't answer that because all I know is what I know.
Yeah, and I liked it the way that it was. So
loved it.
All right, so there you go.
You get that. This is when I lived in Manhattan. You get that doorbell ringing at like 7:45 with, you know, $100 of Italian food at that point.
The calzones,
let's go.
The sausage,
Tony, we whacking tonight. Let's go.
All right, number two. Would you fight a ticket or just pay and move on? If you felt, obviously, you were wronged.
Yeah, I am generally somebody who takes the path of less resistance, meaning if my life is going to be made easier by not fighting it, then, you know, I usually would just, you know, cut the check.
Right.
Whatever. I think I'm getting a little more combative with the system now.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, I'm not putting up with it anymore. They bent us over too much, and I'm done with it. So if there's injustice on the road, or I get a parking ticket, or something happens to me that is not justified, I'm fighting it.
Okay, so now you're going to love this, and I'm glad I brought this up, and I'm glad you just said that. So we both did the show, I think it was June 19th, and I didn't have TV afterwards, so I drove into the city. I don't do that anymore since I moved to Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Parked out in front, and they have the, you know, you could park using the app.
Yes, the meters. Okay, yeah, me and Tiki used to do that.
Generally,
right in front.
Generally, I don't have a problem with it. Now, occasionally you do.
Yeah.
But generally, I don't have a problem with it. I paid the first 2 hours.
Okay.
$13.25. I went to pay the next 2 hours. Now, I can't go down because we're in the middle of a talk show here. So it's not like I could go down and feed the meter. That's what the mobile app is great for.
Yep.
I sit up here, I put in the two, I would pay my $13.25 and pay. The thing wasn't working. Now, that's not my fault. Their parking app was not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I run down at 2, the freaking guy just put the ticket on.
And once he writes it, he can't take it back.
Exactly. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm showing him. He wouldn't. He's like, no, I don't know. I don't think he understood what
you
I was
you don't understand.
Telling.
I was just talking about Grimace.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm like, no, I went to pay it. The thing's not broken. He goes, yeah, take it up with them. So I'm like, God. And now I know. Now I know that this is going to be a pain in the ass, right? Obviously. So I fight it. I send a screenshot of me trying to get through with the thing saying it's not available right now.
Okay.
I send it in. I'm not guilty. I'll gladly pay the $13.25 that I went to pay for the 2 hours. I'm not paying the $65. Like, they're just right or wrong.
That's right.
Said,
principle.
It's principle. I get it back. Oh, the screenshot wasn't dated properly. And even if it's right and the meter wasn't working, it's still no excuse for the ticket. Guilty. Send the $65.
Is that what they said?
Now, right. So, and now I'm like livid.
Wow.
And now I can appeal. But if you appeal and don't pay, I guess during that time period, you could be subject to
fines, additional.
Which I don't want to deal with that.
You could accrue some more money. Yeah.
And then, like, to fight it, to appeal it, you got to print out this sheet, fill it out, you have to mail it.
God.
So
you're going to do what you don't want to do. You're going to,
I think I'm going to take the L.
You're going to take the L and pay the fine.
Or?
I say you fight it. Fine, you're a scrapper.
I'm liking that. I am a scrapper.
Come on, dude. Now, don't get soft on us now.
It's not about the 65 bucks. But, like, yeah, every which way. So the only way that I could fight it and feel good about it, yeah. I deleted that parking app from my phone, and mark my words, never again, unless an emergency, will I drive into the city. And if I do, I'm parking it in a garage. They're not getting any more of my money because this is ridiculous. It's not my fault. I want to pay it. I'll gladly pay what I owe. I didn't break the app.
That's infuriating. Crap, listen, I'm not saying I don't take shortcuts. Even now, I don't mean so much like with tickets, yeah. with parking meters. But if there's a shortcut to be had, I'm taking it. Like I admit it. Right. Meaning, if I can make my life easier, yeah, get right, there quicker, right. Maybe make a broken K turn when nobody's looking. I'm just doing whatever because the city's hard. I'm doing whatever I want, basically. All right. And if I try to do the right thing, and I get penalized for it. It's unacceptable. You have to fight it is your civic duty to fight this one.
You've got to fight for your right
to survive.
To park legally.
To exist.
Good God, I tried to pay it. All right, last one for you.
All right.
Sports superpower. If you could have a sports superpower.
Okay.
Whatever sport you want, whatever one individual superpower. It could be the arm of a quarterback. Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You pick your sports superpower. What would it be?
Okay. Oh, I would have... The first thing that comes to mind is elite speed. I mean, I'm not anymore because I'm done, but was so envious of athletes that could just run, that took it for granted. Like, I was the kind of guy, even in college, like, I'd have to bust my ass to finish. I tell this to my son. To finish like 8th or 9th doing suicides at the end of the 25-man roster, 9th or 10th. I mean, I'd have to go hard just to finish slightly beyond 50%. And you got the shortstop, even though he was the man, he was a great player. You know, he doesn't have to go over 90%. He's going to finish first. You know, a couple center fielder. I would probably say elite speed. That's up there. But being able to also rise up and jump with sick hops and flush it down on somebody. So those are the two that jumped up. The old me.
Good.
All right? The new me is to crank a golf ball like 330.
Oh, come on. I'd have to say you something. You had me and told a golf ball.
Well, what is
good
yours?
God. One is going to be similar to you. I think the superpower to be able to dunk, like, say, Sean Kemp.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, MJ or Dominique, but the ability to be able to dunk like that at a special level would be appealing. My number one thing, I think I'd want to be the best defensive baseball player I could be. I just love, you know how I love Ordóñez. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, you made a nice play in the softball game because I was playing first. You were playing second. He's got a decent little leather over here.
That was my strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
had quick feet up the middle. Yep. I just would love to be like the best of the best. I love watching it in today's game.
Okay.
Whether it's Lindor or Volpe making great plays, slick defenders. I wish I could be that level, gold glove, just defensive baseball
player. I respect it. Now, I know you played pretty much up the middle when you played, but would you go definitely infield or center field?
I'd be a shortstop.
Yeah, play shortstop, middle of the diamond, get the action.
Oh,
that's
God.
A good one.
Go into the hole and fire one like Sean Dunstan's arm, Ray Ordóñez's glove and quickness. Like,
Jeter's instincts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Jeter's inability to be, or his ability to be unfazed by anything, dive into the
like
stand.
Like that anticipatory gene, that sixth sense.
All of that. If I could, I would love that superpower to be just, have the glove be a part of my body.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, but man, just imagine being able to run too. Like,
I know, well, when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that's a good one too.
Like imagine you're in the batter's box and you rifle one in the gap and a double's not an option. Yeah. You know three's on the come, right? You're going with three.
That was something.
It's a stand-up three.
It was something featured in Hard Knocks last night, where they had the guy at the combine who broke John Ross's record. I forget his name. The receiver from Texas.
Yeah,
who was like he ran a 4.2.
I think Ross ran a 4.22. Who was drafted by the Bengals back in the day,
4.21. This guy.
Oh wow.
He at first. Yeah, exactly.
What position? He's got to be a corner. Right?
I think he's a wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver.
I believe so. Yeah.
My goodness, is he big? He can't be big.
I don't know.
I don't even. Yeah. All right, there you go. Things we'll never have that we wish we did. There you go.